If you have your Bibles with you, I would encourage you to take them out and turn to John chapter 21. That's where this morning's reading will be from. John chapter 21, and be reading verses 1 through 14. John chapter 21, verses 1 through 14. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them. And they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat. But that night, they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153, but even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead.
Thank you for being with us this morning. We are thrilled that you're in our presence, and we have visitors here from all kinds of places. We are appreciative of that. Please let us have an opportunity to thank you for coming and being with us. What a blessing it is to be able to worship the Lord so openly, as Josh just read, our risen Lord. In this particular account, in John 21, Peter and seven of the disciples, seven in all, including him, have gone fishing. They have not caught anything in one sufficient distance from shore so as not to recognize him. Cries out, "Children, do you have any fish?" And they said, "No." And he says, "Cast your net on the right side of the boat." As they cast their net on the right side of the boat, they catch so many fish that the net seems like it's going to break. And the disciple that Jesus loved whispers to Peter, "It is the Lord." When he hears this, he jumps in the water, rushes ashore to Jesus. When the disciples arrive, bringing along their 153 fish, Jesus already has a fire set and a fish placed upon it. He invites them to sit and eat with him. Nobody asks, "Who are you?" For they all know that this is Jesus. The previous appearances of Jesus in the Gospel of John have been in Judea, but this one
Is it the Sea of Galilee? We want to have that background, but we want to lead to the latter part of the chapter. Let's begin reading with verse 15. So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Shepherd my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hand, and someone else will gird you and bring you where you do not wish to go." Now this he said, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken thus, he said to him, "Follow me." And Peter turned around and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, the one who also had leaned back on his bosom in the supper and said, "Lord, who is the one who betrayed you?" So Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, "And Lord, and what about this man?" And Jesus said, "If I want him to remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me." Therefore, the saying went out among the brethren that that disciple would not die, yet Jesus did not say to him that he would not die, but only, "If I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you?" Interesting account. Let's look at the words and see what it says. They have finished eating breakfast. Jesus eats several times as a risen disciple. Remember, they worried at first if he was just a ghost, and he ate and said, "Give me a piece of fish," and ate and says, "The spirit doesn't have flesh and bones as you see me having." But he eats with them, and when Jesus eats with them, he addressed Simon. He says, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" We want to examine this latter portion of John with three particular subjects. But first of all, he says, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He had spoken of Simon that way, Simon the son of John, when he was introduced in John 1:42. And now here at the end of the book, he's addressed that way again. He doesn't call him Peter. He has not been a rock most recently. But Simon, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than these? Well, what does he mean, do you love me more than these? What does he mean by that particular statement? Who are the these? Is he saying in this, do you love me more than you love your fishing equipment? Is that the these? Is it the fishing equipment that he has, and he has reverted back to his profession, and Jesus is calling him to leave that and follow him? Is that the point? Is the point, do you love me more than these? Do you love me, Jesus, more than you love the disciples? Do you just love the crowd? Do you just love the association? Or do you love me? Or does the emphasis fall, do you love me more than these love me? Now you'll find people arguing for each of those views, but to me it's most sensible that he say, do you love me more than these love me? Now you might say, that's not a fair question. Maybe not. But remember, Peter had said, though all deny you, I will never deny you. Peter had made this kind of affirmation before. Peter had stated, basically, I do love you more than these. And so Jesus is bringing this question home to him. Simon, son of John, do you love these more? Do you love me more than these? And Peter is not appealing to the fact, oh Lord, I love you more than they do. He simply says, you know that I love you. Maybe this process shows us that Peter has been humbled. Peter recognizes his mistakes. It is also striking, by the way, that in verse 9, Jesus had put these fish upon a charcoal fire. There's only one other time that a charcoal fire appears in the Gospel of John, and that's in John 18, verse 18. And there, Peter gave a threefold denial of how he was not a follower of Jesus. And now, Jesus is giving him the opportunity to make a threefold affirmation. And each time he continues to ask, let me throw something out briefly. I know some of you know the fact that there are different Greek words that are used here, and some appeal to this verse as an evidence that there's a distinction between these words. Why, while Jesus is asking, do you agape me, a form of that particular word, the verb form, he says, I phileo you. But those words are used interchangeably throughout the Gospel of John. I don't think that's the point. I don't think he's making a distinction between these particular words, but he's just driving home the lesson to Peter, who has denied three times that he knows Jesus. He's driving home the lesson. Do you love me? Do you love me? This is Peter's reinstatement to service of the Lord. And as Peter is being asked this question, don't you find that question interesting? Of all the questions Jesus could have asked him, he says, do you love me? Why would that be the focal point question? Because that's at the heart of what God wanted of Israel. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, Deuteronomy 6 in verses 4 and 5. And when Jesus was asked in Mark 10, verse 28, what is the first and greatest commandment? Jesus quotes Deuteronomy 6. The foremost is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is like unto it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And the man said, oh, Master, you've answered correctly, for truly this is the greatest commandment. And to love him with all our heart and strength is more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. But of all the questions that Jesus could have asked Peter, he says, Do you love me? And Jesus knows the answer. Peter says, you know I love you. And then finally, Peter says in verse 17, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus is asking you that question. Do you love me? And he knows your answer. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Verse 18. Truly, truly is how the New American Standard opens. Do you know that was stated in John 13, 38? Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, a rooster will not crow until you deny me three times. He introduced that statement with this double amen, with this double truly. And here he introduces this with a double amen, a double truly, translated truly. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you're young, you used to gird yourself and you used to walk wherever you wish. But when you grow old, you'll stretch out your hands and someone else will guide you, will gird you. Stretching out your hands was sometimes used in ancient literature for crucifixion. And he's telling Peter the kind of death that he's going to die. Now, we're going to focus on that just a moment. But first, let's also notice that Jesus said, when he asked, do you love me? And Peter answers in the affirmative. Jesus says in verse 15, tend my lambs. In verse 16, he says, shepherd my sheep. In verse 17, he says, tend my sheep or tend my lambs. Each time Peter's answer to the question, do you love me, given the affirmative, Jesus points him to his sheep that he needs to care for. You see, the first and greatest responsibility is to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like unto it. It leads to the second, which is to love your neighbor as yourself, and particularly God's people, and particularly to try to help them in their walk with the Lord. And Peter is told that he, in showing his love for God, is going to need to tend the lambs. He is going to need to feed the sheep. That is his responsibility. Now, this word that's used, shepherd, that's used and addressed to Peter in verse 16 of John 21:16, is the same word shepherd used in 1 Peter 5 and verse 2. Shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, not for sordid gain, but with eagerness. In other words, Peter was going to shepherd the flock. He was going to serve as an elder among God's people in 1 Peter 5:1. He was going to shepherd the flock, 1 Peter 5:2. The same word that Jesus told him to exercise toward his sheep in John 21:16. Shepherd my sheep. And he is shepherding the flock. And he is encouraging other shepherds to shepherd the flock. To shepherd the flock under the guidance of the chief shepherd. This passage in John 21 is not about Peter's exaltation, but it's about his reinstatement to to service. It's about his reinstatement to service. Shepherd my sheep. Tend my flock. Look out for my people. That's Peter's job. That's elders' job. That's your job. That's my job. It's all our jobs. Particularly, shepherds are called to, in Ezekiel 34, to strengthen the weak, to bind up the broken, to heal the wounded. They're called to do all of that. Now, there's a word. I read 1 Peter 5, verse 2 just a moment ago. 1 Peter 5, verse 2. It says, shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight. Exercising oversight. Not under compulsion, but voluntarily. Elders are to exercise oversight. They are to look over souls. They are to shepherd souls. But that word translating exercising, that word translated exercising, that specific word is only used one other time in the New Testament. And that is in Hebrews 12, verse 15. Let me start with verse 14. Pursue peace with all men, and the sanctification with which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, and that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled. Now, while you can't tell it, the word translated see in the New American Standard in Hebrews 12, verse 15, is the same word for translated exercising and exercising oversight in 1 Peter 5 and verse 2. In 1 Peter 5 and verse 2, it dealt with seeking for souls and looking for souls. And I would argue in Hebrews 12 and verse 15, it means the same thing. It means the same thing. But there, the exhortation is not given exclusively to shepherds of the flock, like Peter. It's not given exclusively to them. It's given to all of us. There should be no root of bitterness springing up among us. No root of bitterness that's going to cause many to be defiled. And we are each in position to see someone that we can help. And see to it that no one comes short of God's grace, and that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble. What I'm saying, do you love Jesus? Jesus says, do you love me? And Jesus says, tend my sheep, feed my sheep, help my people. Who is it here that you can help? Who is it that's a believer that you can help? Hebrews 3:13 is just connected by concept. Exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. And then Jesus told Peter the kind of death that he was going to die. As I stated just a moment ago, by the fact that he stretched out his hands, Jesus may have told Peter that he was going to die by crucifixion. You probably heard that Peter was crucified, or that Peter was crucified upside down. We do have a little evidence for that. It is not extremely strong. But there would always be something sobering about hearing how your life's going to end, wouldn't it? There'd always be something sobering about hearing how your life will end, particularly if that will be in a horrible punishment. And Peter and Jesus are speaking, and Peter apparently glances and sees John, the disciple who was so close to Jesus. So close to Jesus that at the Last Supper, he leaned on his breast and he said, "Who's the one who's going to betray you?" And Peter said, "What's going to happen to him?" And Jesus' answer is really pretty direct. "If I want him to stay till you come, till I come, what's that to you? You follow me." And the "you" in the text is emphatic. What he is telling us is that we have to follow him whatever anyone else does. If I found out that I was going to die by crucifixion, I think I'd probably turn around and ask how you were going to die. Because I was going to make sure that you were sharing in this glory as well. And Jesus said, "What does that matter? What does that matter to you? It doesn't change your task. It doesn't change your responsibility. It doesn't change anything about your life. What you have to do is follow me." Now, over and over, those words, "follow me," were used in a call by Jesus. Jesus called the rich young ruler, "Follow me and give up your riches," in Matthew 19, in verse 21. He called others with those words, "Follow me." The disciples left all and followed Jesus, but particularly in the Gospel of John. Look back to John 1. Look back to John 1. And in John 1, we find our first mention of Simon Peter in the Bible. Chronologically, this is the first time he appears. John 1 and verse 40, one of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He found first his own brother Simon and said to him, "We found the Messiah," which translated means Christ. So Andrew actually followed Jesus first. He found Simon. He said, "We found the Messiah." In verse 42, he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. The next day, he purposed to go into Galilee, and he found Philip, and Jesus said to him, "Follow me." The words that Jesus was using to call his first disciples was "follow me." And in Matthew 4, verse 20, and Matthew 4, verse 22, they left everything and followed him. Luke 5, verse 11 also states that. Peter wants to find out what's going to happen to John. And Jesus says, "Your path is plain. Your path is clear. Follow me. Follow me." Young people, I'm going to tell you something somebody told me recently, and maybe if you're not feeling it now, the Lord spares you, you probably will. I am distressed. This person told me at my peers. I am distressed of how many are leaving the Lord and abandoning all that is right. I am deeply distressed. Well, there's a place for distress. Lot was distressed by the conduct of those around him. 2 Peter 2, 7 and 8. So there's a place for that. I'm not minimizing that. But if you haven't felt that, you haven't sensed that, if the Lord spares you, you probably will. You probably will. What can you do? There are people I've heard preach over the years that are still alive, they're still around, and today are sitting home in disregard of the Lord and what's right. What do you do? We follow Him. We follow Him. We had these words in our songbook. And I want to tell you, I hesitate to sing them sometimes. Not because they're not true, but because I don't know if I live them. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. No turning back. No turning back. Those would be the words that Jesus would say to us. Those are the words He says to Peter. Those are the words that He says to us. Follow me. Joshua, near the end of his 110 years, had told the people that their history, they will fall away from God. And there will be many dark periods, but He says, choose this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, or the gods of Egypt from where you came. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Make the determination that you will follow Him. And you will not turn your back on Him. Now, in this respect, I want to share a quote with you, and I'm hesitant to do this, because what I'm about to say sounds like cynicism. The man who originally said this and the preacher to whom he said it have both passed away. But I don't think it was said in cynicism. I think it was said with determination. The first preacher related to the other, when I was young, I was on fire, and I was convinced I was going to convert the world. As time went along, I realized how unsuccessful many of my efforts had been. And I would save the church. I would, not in the sense that only Jesus can, but all God's people. And that failed. then I thought I would save my family. And that fell. And I was determined that I myself would follow Jesus. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Let us pray. O Lord our God, how great you are. How great the salvation you have offered in Jesus your Son. And we stand in awe of you. When we look at all that you have done throughout history to bring us to salvation in spite of ourselves, we are awed at your amazing grace. May it lead us to love you with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. And may it lead us to seek, to build up, to motivate, to encourage, to strengthen your people, to tend your sheep. We are thankful that often when we do right and practice good, that we have around us others who encourage us in those efforts and who build us up in those attempts. But we pray, O Lord, that when none go with us, that we still will follow, that we will walk in your path, that we will be your people, and you will be our God. In Jesus we pray. Amen. As you're reading that passage, John 21, in a couple of days in the daily Bible reading, may some of these ideas be of help to you then as well. Isn't it amazing that our God has done so much to redeem us? To redeem us from sin. We had no kin. We had no relative who could buy our way out. And yet He has entered our situation. And He would redeem us, whatever the cost. It is a great thing to see what Jesus has done to save us. And we need to respond to that message, believing that good news that He has died and rose again and turning from our sins and being baptized into Christ. If we need to explain that to you further, we'd be glad to try. But if you want to come right now, we invite you to come and see.